Welcome to Lasting Truth, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills, in Banning, California, where Pastor Ryan Hussein teaches the entire Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, giving our listeners the opportunity of receiving the full counsel of God. Here's Pastor Ryan.
Where's all the fear? Where's all the doubt? We're just in sunny Mexico, feeding the local cops right there. No one's doing nothing but sharing the love of Christ. I learned servanthood. We pick up trash. We've cleaned restrooms that are so, so ungodly. Oh, you know, is there any gloves in the place? Any, before I go in there, please. I've learned servanthood. My pastor kind of started the whole thing like a pioneer. The ranch he bought, you know, they built outhouses like the old days, like the pioneers who came to the West or whatever. It's like, oh, servanthood. And 23 years ago, I used to bring a group from Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, because I was going there. I was part of the college and career group. And, you know, it got to the point where I was taking 10 carloads of healthy gringos down to Mexico. And they loved it. And they taught me servanthood. They came from well-to-do places, unlike the barrio I came from. But they showed me the body of Christ is bigger than I ever thought. And they showed me those sisters came from pretty world. And served in the mud and the dirt with everybody else. Yeah, they brought a portable porta potty for the tent. I never saw such a device. That's how bad the outhouses were there. It killed you about 10 feet before you got to the door. And then there was the worry of falling through that. There was no showers. Now they built a sanctuary there where the locals come to church on Sunday. There's showers, there's hot water, there's everything all nice. And the gringos still like to put their tents there. So a lot of us camp out on the property still like I did in the old days in tents. We stay at Airbnbs. So it's nice. But anyways, I learned servanthood. Another thing I learned from the Lord is just like the verse says in verse 17 of Proverbs 19, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord and he will pay back what he has given. I have learned through my time at Mañadero that God does indeed reward us for serving him, for making it to these missions trips that are long and dusty and in Mañadero, there's one paved road down the center of the town. Everything branches out in dirt roads. My Bronco out there was completely covered in mud because we showed up an hour after all the rains. There's no avoiding it. I mean, covered from top to bottom. And luckily, on the way out, we saw a car wash there in Mañadero. I don't know how that works because everything's dusty. You wash the car and it, you know. But these guys, for $7, I had like 8 dudes, man. Just, they were going to spend all day, I got to get to the border. We got to get to the border. And so they took the mud off but God rewards us. I feel like I owe Mañadero so much because of Jesus. I learned his poverty. I learned his servanthood. And I learned that he rewards those who seek him diligently, those who serve him, he blesses. And if you don't believe that he blesses, why would we ever serve? Of course he sees. He saw the poor widow give 2 mites. Of course he sees that we drive all the way down there. Of course he sees it all. And our labor in the Lord is not in vain. 23 years ago, I told you I was leading the group from Costa Mesa. Well, one day this girl, Clarissa, comes. I needed a wife bad. Me no like to be alone. And I remember talking to my pastor, and he said, Ryan, keep doing what you're doing. You serve the Lord, and he will bring you a wife who's at the same level as you are, not someone less spiritual or more spiritual. You just keep serving the Lord. You know, let God put you in the deep sleep like he did Adam. Just serve the Lord. And lo and behold, Clarissa came. And I used to avoid my pastor in the early days because he would ask me to do things that terrified me, like preach and teach. And so it was Labor Day weekend, and he said, Rye, we're going to the Bufarola tomorrow, which is the blowhole, and I want you to give the message there. Oh, I know it's Labor Day. In the old days, we would go down there on Labor Day. Amen? Some of you old sinners in the old days used to go party in Rosarito or whatever. It's a big weekend. I was terrified. Oh, gosh. So I went in the morning with a brother to go beg God for help. And I had this large group from Costa Mesa that came down to Montevideo with me. And when I came back with my friend from praying, Clarissa had, and I didn't really know her too well, gone into my tent. Mom, I wasn't in the tent. Remember this story. I was not in the tent. She folded and put my clothes away in my bag. She took down my 5-man Coleman tent. And it was hot in summer and dusty. She put that thing down by herself and put it in the tent bag that it comes with. And to the detriment of her clothing and her hair and her face, she was covered in dust. When I came back, and I go, she's a servant. I'm going to marry that woman. But see, at the time, I wasn't ordained yet. I wasn't. All of this that you see today, I can directly connect it to, we cared for the poor. We went down there and served the Lord, and he rewards us when we do so. He who cares for the poor lends to the Lord, and he pays back what we have given. And a prudent wife is from the Lord. I got a wife out of it. You can say I got a house, I got children, I got beautiful church family, and look at what he's done here. And it's just the beginning if he should tarry. So pray about serving the Lord. Pray about serving the Lord. In Mark 10, verse 29 through 31, Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. The Lord promises that if we sacrifice for him, he will bless us back 100-fold, both in this life and in eternal life. He promises to bless our socks off. And then he says, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. What does he mean by many who are first? Many who are still living for themselves. I'm first. You see, as Christians, it's not even shouldn't even be a thing. You can't get any more Christian 101 than thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's an oxymoron to still say, I'm a Christian. My will be done, and sometimes I do what God says. it's an oxymoron. No, it's we do what he says. I don't go to Mañanero because I'm more spiritual. I don't preach here before you because I'm more spiritual. I do it because God has asked me to do it. My personality is irrelevant. Whether I like to speak in front of people or not, it's irrelevant. It's a job that he needs done, and I love him enough that I will do it, embarrassment, shame, or not. I'll just do it. I'm exempt. My personality, he doesn't care. He came to change us. Show me somewhere in the Bible where they put their faith in Christ, then told him, but I won't go. And he was like, oh, yeah. I totally understand. It's your personality. Gotcha. See you in heaven. We're all going to go do the work. It's not. You don't see it anywhere. He says, if you get your hand on that plow and turn around, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Well, let me go first bury my father. I just bought a field. I got to go check on it. I just bought property. I got a business. You know, I cannot be first. I'm a Christian. I can't, the excuses are, or what? When I was there years ago at College and Career in Costa Mesa, there was a girl named Jaina who was on an electrical wheelchair, palsy. That's what she had. You know, she was, couldn't walk, had to be taken care of. Kept asking me, can I go with you to Mexico? I want to go. And if the sisters will help you get around down there, it's tense and all that. I think we got a hotel for her. But she went down there. And our friend Beth, who was in a wheelchair, paralyzed from the feet down, she went down there. These are gringas, guys. My sisters in Christ. Went down there in that condition because he wanted to serve Jesus and experience the poverty. Susie went as well. She had no legs. That was from an accident and had only one arm, and then the other one was electrical scooter. They went. So I think I lived 23 years of pastoral ministry and 25 years as a Christian. I've seen all of that so that I can tell the stories and we can be inspired. It's dirty and rough and you got to put the toilet paper in trash. You can't, you know, septic, all that. You know, but we're in Airbnbs, man. We're at the beach. And I think it still means so much to the Lord that we go down there. But even if you cannot go down to Mexico, can you come 15-minute drive, air conditioning car to help out here? Saves a long drive to Mexico. You can serve here. Yeah, but you know, you got to know drinking policy. And so my personality, I need my beer with my steak. I need my Chardonnay. You know, whatever it is. Yeah, you know, we're just about not making people stumble. You feel me? I'm not condemning anybody. But if they see you serving here, they kind of want you to, you know, help alcoholics, not make them stumble. I'm serious, man. He's coming back soon. You know, Peter says, you spend so much time drinking in your old life. That's what he says. You spend so much time in dissipation. Come on. We've done enough of that in our past life. I can tell you exactly how things taste. I drank so much. I love to drink. But for others, I decided, nah. I'd rather help people get into the kingdom. Yeah, but Jesus turned the water into wine. Yeah, but that wine wasn't as potent as the stuff is today. You crack open a bottle of wine today, you can smell that 20 feet from it being popped open. They've spiked the spike punch.
Besides, in Jesus' time, if you had sex before marriage, they'd kill you. They'd kill you. Like, no joke. Dads can, like, kill daughters and sons for that. So it was a different time. It took a village to raise people. Now no one's raising anybody. The last thing we need to do is be buzzed. When Peter said, be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The gift of the Spirit is self-control. Help us, Lord, right? Anyways, I didn't want to turn it into that, but I say it because over the years, people are like, man, I wanted to serve, but I got to still have that thing. Look at the scriptures. Paul said, let no one judge you in food or drink. But then he goes on to say, man, if meat or wine causes my brother to stumble, I won't do either. It's about other people. When you get to, you know, life and death situations, you realize we're in a life. Are we not in a life and death situation? We are in a life and death situation. People come to church, they think, man, I was coming for a happy message and a happy thought. Smile? Shoot, man. I got nothing but change, repent. God loves you. Change before you burn. Gosh, what kind of church is this? Yeah, read the epistles, man. Every single one of them is that way. And then read the gospels, and the Lord was the same way. Oh, my gosh. John the Baptist? Kidding me? Anyways, pray about getting involved. You know, when the Apostle Paul was converted, and think about his conversion, he didn't care anymore about what Paul wanted anymore. Why was Paul so selfless? Because Jesus forgave him for killing Christians. That's a big one. Not for stealing a Snickers bar. Paul killed some Christians. Arrested them. And he was so grateful, the last thing he was fighting for were his liberties. Whatever. I got one life to live. I'm going to live it for the Lord. And you talk about missions trips, you look at the back of your Bibles, there's three big ones on there that you can look at, and there was a fourth one, they say he went to Spain. But I mean, what motivated him was the love of Christ compelled him. And so he said that after his conversion, he met up with the OGs. He met up with James, Cephas, and John. I'm assuming that's James, the brother of our Lord. Cephas is Peter and John, the beloved. He met up with them. In Galatians 2, he talks about it. And he said that they gave him the fellowship of the brethren. Go and minister to the Gentiles. Self-righteous, religious Jew who had nothing to do with Gentiles, hated them. Now he was going to shepherd them. Isn't that crazy? Anyways, they said, oh, yeah, better you than me. They didn't say that, but I mean, he went out to the Gentiles. And he said in Galatians 2:10, they desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do. So the guys who were with Jesus told the Apostle Paul, they were connected to Jesus, he was connected to Jesus, they reminded him of one thing before you go out. Care for the poor. Oh yeah. I was eager to do that. For sure. That's what we do. We're Christians. But we're not a humanitarian organization. Oh, no. If I'm going to feed the poor, they're getting the gospel. You know, I'm not Rick Warren. I'm not working with Muslims and Buddhists to feed the poor so that we can feed their bodies and then they can end up in hell. We're going to feed them and feed them with the truth. You feel me? They desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do. Jesus, when John the Baptist was arrested by Herod, remember that?
He was in Herod's prison. And he sent his guys to Jesus. Find out if he's really the guy, because I'm in jail now and I don't know if he's really the guy. So they go and they ask Jesus if he's really the guy. And in Matthew 11, verse 4 and 5, Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them." The poor have the gospel preached to them. As I was looking at that dreadful border line in my nightmares yesterday, we were waiting like 2 hours out, not even in the official border line, outside of it. Thinking, "Oh Lord, help us, my wife and I and the kids, not to kill each other in this car." Don't act like you guys would be in the spirit every moment of that border wait. That thing was 8 hours of, it was another day in your car. We were tested, but we came out okay. Thank God. Where was I? Yeah, this guy came up, man, trying to sell me some huaraches. Some sandals, Mexican sandals, you know. The kind that Speedy Gonzalez sports. I have some at home already, you know. I like them, but they're uncomfortable. But he was one of those believers who has been going to church a lot, but has missed also. And we had the most beautiful conversation, my wife, him, and I, about the Lord and what's coming and how we need to be ready. We need to be plugged in and in the Word and in prayer. And maybe we were in that line the whole time just so that we can meet Art and encourage him. It's a great conversation. The Lord's coming back. He saved us so that we can serve him. See where he might lead you. I don't mean to get anybody down, but just encourage you that, you know, it's in his word. What's in his word the most? That we don't live for ourselves anymore? That's the reason why he lost so many people. Jesus lost a whole bunch of people for one reason. They weren't ready to give up themselves, which is the lie of the devil. Hold on to your self-life. You don't need God telling you what to do. You can be like God, knowing good and evil for yourself. That's the lie. Amen? Father, we thank you for your grace, your love, and your mercy. Help us to be the people you want us to be. You say that the first shall be last, and the last first. You say in your word that if we deny ourselves, if we lose our life for your sake, we shall find it. But if we seek to find our life or to keep our life, we will lose it. Help us, Father, to surrender all. Help me to surrender more. For you're worthy of all surrender. And for those who are struggling with that area, I pray, God, give them a willingness to disdain anything.
Thank you for joining us today at Lasting Truth Radio. If you're in the area, come out and join us for Sunday services at 8:30 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We are located at 3035 West Nicollet Street in Banning, California. You can also find us on YouTube or Instagram. If you would like to donate to our program, please do so on our website at ccsweethills.org and hit the online giving tab. We hope you will continue to tune in as we journey through the entire Word of God with the teaching of Pastor Ryan Hussein at Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills. We adore.